Huh.
Hardness against his cheek. Pulsing warm. Or was he only feeling the heat being drawn out of his face into a floor cold as a baron's heart? Ryan lay on his belly. He was unaware of having fallen. The world slowly ceased to spin around him. The groans of his companions made their way through the fog that wrapped his brain. It had been a bad jump, the kind that reached down your gullet and yanked your guts out your mouth.
Christy?
His eye felt as if it were glued shut. He forced it open. The upper lid came away from the lower with a sick, gummy sensation. His empty socket throbbed with scarlet, aching pulses. Christy at least had begun the jump on her back, carefully laid down by Mildred and Ryan. She remained pretty much as they had left her, left arm strapped across her sternum to immobilize it. The right, which had been crossed over her stomach, now lay by her side. A thin trickle of blood ran to the floor of the gateway, where she had clenched her fist so hard during the jump that her nails had pierced her palm. Her face was unnaturally pale, almost blue, contrasting harshly with her hair, which lay limp around her head like a tangle of red seaweed. Ryan crawled to her, more lizard than man, feeling as if a mutie the size of a mountain were squatting on his back, jeering at his misery. He grabbed her right arm, felt for the pulse inside her wrist. It was there, and strong. Now that he knew his woman lived, Ryan allowed himself cautiously to become aware of more of his surroundings. The chamber had walls of orange-red armor glass that passed the dim illumination of the room beyond, which had automatically come on when the gateway powered up to materialize them, like the glow of a fire. There were bad smells, not the bland sterile smell of a long unused chamber. There were sounds, too. Dull, distant thumps, like giant stone fists being slammed together. Pops and cracks like the fire of heavy blasters, the kind needed to be toted with a big war wag. And under everything, a deep note noise that wasn't quite a moan and wasn't quite a roar, with a bit of crackle and sort of a seethe. A sound you could hear through your bones if both eardrums were shut. Ryan braced himself on one elbow and looked around. JB had hauled himself to a sitting position and was trying to get Mildred to come around. Jack already sat with his knees drawn up and his crimson eyes sunk in his face, like blood spots in a sheet. A dribble of puke, semi-dried, still trailed from the corner of his mouth.
Ah, oh, shit. Looked like Doc croaked.
Doc lay on his back, arms outstretched, mouth agape, roomy eyes staring unblinking at the top of the Matrans chamber. Ryan's heart weighed down his ribcage. Seeing Doc lying there stark and dead was like losing another part of his body. He lifted Christy's hand, kissed the back of it, laid it across her other arm. Then he got up, wobbled, fought for and regained his balance, and walked staunchly upright the few steps to where his comrade lay. He knelt, reached down, and with thumb and forefinger of his right hand, started to close the lids of Doc's eyes.
By the three Kennedys,
fireblast!
What are you trying to do, my dear boy? Blind me?
Ryan recoiled as if the old man had transformed into a coiled diamondback. Doc sat up with an almost audible creak of joints.
Indeed. One might think you had never seen a man in repose.
Doc, you was the deadest looking article I ever hoped to see.
The old man stood, shot his cuffs, and dusted off his frock coat.
Lover.
Bare from the waist up, Christy Roth sat in the infirmary of the Rocky Mountain Redoubt, teeth locked on Ryan's scuffed old leather belt. Mildred Wyeth had a pair of channel lock pliers from JB's armorer's kit clamped on the head of the crossbow quarrel. The Coldheart missile had a barbed iron head that reached halfway down the shaft to make it hard for the recipient to tear it out of the wound. However, a crossbow quarrel had enormous penetrating power. The bolt had actually gone all the way through Christy's left shoulder to tent out the fabric of her jumpsuit with 2 inches of gory tip.
Hold on, Christy. There you go.
The quarrel came free. Blood gushed out, flowing down into towels they'd discovered inside an old laundry storage bin and heaped around the redhead's middle.
Jesus, Mildred, do something!
I told you, Ryan. We have to let the wound bleed freely for a short time to flush the channel. The benefit will offset the minor additional blood loss.
But God...
Oh, relax, Ryan.
Suddenly, Mildred's broad, dark face was wrinkled in a gesture of disgust.
What's that smell, Mildred?
Really not much question what it is.
Tis surely not gangrene, dear doctor.
Way too soon. No, it's feces. Probably human.
Shit?
Exactly. Those cold hard mothers didn't miss a beat.
Want to guarantee nobody gets away from them.
JB shared a grim look with Ryan. They were well familiar with that particular trick from their time with Trader years before. Smearing a penetrating weapon, like a missile or a punji stick, with human feces all but guaranteed infection, deep-seated and virulent, and anyone unlucky enough to be punctured by it.
Well, there's still alcohol and gauze left in the redoubt stores, and even some packets of antibiotic powder. I can make a lick and a promise at cleaning out the filth. I can make a pass at debriding the wound, cutting out the dead and tainted flesh with a scalpel to minimize the infection. But one thing we don't have is anesthetics.
Christy sat, paladin swaying, with Ryan's arm around her.
Do what you need to do, Mildred. I can take it.
Do you need to? What about Christy's natural ability to heal?
It has its limits like everything else. As a doctor and a friend, I can't in conscience let it go without getting some of that crap out of there. I think we can pass on debriding, since that would add to the existing trauma, and nothing in my power is going to prevent infection totally. On the other hand, cleaning the wound channel would help keep the infection down while doing minimal extra damage. But it'll be rough.
It was. Mildred borrowed both a segmented screw-together aluminum cleaning rod from JB's kit and the concept of another gun cleaning implement, the pull-through bore scrubber. She used the rod to poke a string through the wound, back to front, and then used it to pull through some thicker cord, braided first with alcohol-soaked gauze patches, then dry ones, and finally patches liberally coated in broad-spectrum antibiotic powder. Christy had endured all in the same stoic silence with which she had taken Mildred's pulling out the bolt. But by the end, her eyes were tightly shut, and Ryan had to hang on to her to prevent her toppling from the steel table as she passed out.